out, from and around, but then it came up again over Shabbos. Kind of, we're doing two things at the same time, I guess, in this little project. One is, you know, trying to go a little bit through the beginning of Chelek and see some of the issues there, and then, you know, to see that as a kind of also just an approach to Divrei Agadah, and also we're doing kind of a survey of different Mefarshim's view of Agadah or extra halachic material in Chazal, which of course is a very critical topic. As I mentioned, there are numerous hakdamas in the beginning of Ein Yaakov, which are relevant to this. We've seen some of the ones, not in Ein Yaakov, but in the Rishonim. I had mentioned that specifically I wanted to talk for a few minutes, at least, about Rav Avraham and Rambam. Rav Avraham and Rambam's comments on Agadah are important for two reasons. Firstly, because he's the Rambam's son, and therefore, you know, whatever he reflects about the Rambam's view, of course, is very important. Now, it is true that in the past, you know, we've raised, you know, some questions about his, you know, reliability in certain topics, but that doesn't mean, you know, in all topics. You know, we really liked what he said about, you know, Ein Disha, like Bigidule Karka, you know, and some other things as well. So, what's that?
All Shabbos ones.
Shabbos ones are good. He was home, you know, for Shabbos. You know, beginning of Ishus, he was a little bit, you know, on the road or whatever it was, you know, checking out some of the Sufi, ideologues in the neighborhood. But so it's important for him, you know, and in this Hakdama, he certainly identifies himself fully with his father's view and his father's project, or, you know, his proposed project in writing a perush on Divrei Agadah, which, of course, is very important. And, of course, in addition to that, he has some very famous comments, and that's what we mentioned over Shabbos, that came up a little bit, about other extra-halachic material, not Divrei Agadah, but scientific and medical allusions, or in some cases, information, or suggestions, and what their status is, and all. So just very briefly, and then I wanted to talk about, back to Trias HaMesim, but a little bit through the Tshuva Sarajba. The Rav Ramad Ramam in his Hakdama, it's written in Arabic and it was translated, but he begins with with a description of the challenge of writing intelligently and constructively on Divrei Agadah. And, you know, how that is not such a davar pashut. He notes that the Rambam, you know, was very conscious of the challenges, and he suggests that the Rambam really shied away and, you know, found it to be a little bit, you know, formidable, which is a fascinating thing. If you know the Rambam's personality, which permeates everything that he writes, sense of confidence, and, you know, the Rambam didn't really shy away from very much. But it says here, Daki kol nimtza b'talmud v'zulaso michiburei chachamim bali midrashos v'hamaisos. I'm skipping a little bit. Ma'atim v'nelamim me'enei kol ha'hogim b'talmud v'rubei ha'mefarshim lo sholchu b'hem yadam. Most people didn't analyze them. V'lo bo nafsham b'soda. V'avi mori chashav l'chaber sefer b'pirushim. Right. The Rambam intended, as he notes himself, the Rambam, that he was going to write a Perush. Kasher, Zachar B'tchilas, Pirusha Mishnayis, U'besof Nata Me'alav, and then he writes, Vayera Moshe, Migesha Se'lav, which I think is a very important comment. Kasher B'tchila, Pirusha Mishnayis, U'besof Nata Me'alav, etc. And then he says that Kasher Omar B'tchilas Amore, Vani achar ptiraso pirashti b'inen ze ma'at kat, right? V'lo notiti mipnei shenisasakti b'chibur ha-sefer hazeh, and so on, ke ra'isi b'talto, etc. But then he goes on to give certain guidelines, and the classification is very fascinating in two respects. Number one, the different types of agadata that he delineates are interesting. the range and also just the description. But also what he has here that others don't is kind of a parallel treatment, not just about Divrei Agada or drushos of Chazal, but stories that appear in Chazal, and as I say, also the other extracurricular or extra-legal material, namely scientific and medical information. So he says, he says that we don't really have much, but we can extrapolate from the paradigm of the few examples where the real intent of Divrei Agada was explicated. Umimenu kavanasam tehe sofe v'yelecha lelohim. That will be a, like a guide, you know, a leader. Batatiyeh lepe. Umizet timaleit nafshecha milahalig al divrei chachamim o milikfar ba'amisas divreihem. Again, makes it clear in the beginning of this treatment and at the end that his goal is to secure and safeguard the reputation of the Chachamim, because there are people who are obviously mocking, you know, who don't have a proper understanding, and therefore their posture in terms of reverence is deficient as well. And again, while like the Rambam in his Hakdama to Chelek, you know, he relates to the, you know, the two unacceptable extremes, those who interpret Kipshuto and therefore in a way contribute to undermining the prestige of the Chachamim and the prestige of Torah, as well as those who, you know, don't accept, you know, Divrei Agada Kipshuto, but assume that it's intended to Pshuto and therefore indict the whole enterprise and by extension the stature and the prestige of the Chachamim. He's, again, essentially trying to neutralize both, but his goal is to protect the prestige of the Chachamim, as was the Rambam's. Omi shetish titkashev shehim maisei nisim kasher nasa l'neviim, right? V'chein yasa l'kol chacham v'chassid, that, you know, miracles happen all the time, you know, at the drop of a, you know, drop of a hat, you know, anybody who's a chassid, you know, these miraculous events are taking place to them, not just to Nevi'im and not just to Klal Yisrael, not just Kriyas Yamsuf, but like everyday Kriyas Yamsufs. V'shein hefresh ben Kriyas Yamsuf l'moshe l'yotim Mitzrayim u'bein tzlichas hayarden l'elisho l'eliyahu o la'acher zulat elu. Kol zeh hitchayev, he says, k'shetika achosan hadroshos al pi'pshutan. If you take, you know, all the drushes k'pshutan, it sounds like the amount of the miraculous is just exponential. V'day hayabanu lahodos sheyesh b'midrashos u'maisyos sheyesh lehen inyan pnimi nistar chutz mea inyan achitzoni hanira v'kolshkein v'meshegila abamari b'chiburav mizeh lulei ki cheftzi ritzoni lo sivcha bir lahodiacha naisim b'chila kinyaneim. He said it could have been enough just for me to say that, you know, there are different types of Divrei Agada. Some are kipshuto, some are more bederachida umasha, like the Rambam says, more symbolic and have a deeper meaning. But he says, I really want to break down the categories because I think that is very important as well. But the avoidance of simplification or a crude reading of all Agadata is crucial in avoiding the trap of not appreciating the stature of this works and the stature of those who are associated with it, namely the Chacham. So he provides a classificatory scheme of both midrashos and of, you know, sipure maasim in Chazal, which he breaks down into numerous different divisions. Agav, he mentions this very famous comment about science and medicine, where he says, "Ulefiak damazu lo nitchayev b'pnei godel malas chach me'atalmud u'tchunasam l'shlemus tchunasam b'feirush haTorah b'diktukeha." Meaning, you shouldn't think that the stature of the Chachamim and their unimpeachable authority when it comes to matters of halacha and even hashkafa, right? V'yosher amoreha b'bir klaleho prateha. Shenitan lahem v'nam idatam b'chol imreim birufuos u'b'chokmas hateva v'hatchuna. that means that all their scientific and medical pronouncements should be given the same, should be taken with the same sense of authority. Ulahaminosan kasher naminosan beferus haTorah, right? Shataklis chachmasam biyadam. We know that they, are deserving of that stature when it comes to chachmas haTorah because they're tamidei chachamim. That's their training. That's the mesorah that they have. V'lahem nimtzra lahorosam lebnei adam, and that's their function. So you would think that their etzas tovos and their scientific pronouncements would be of equal stature. Ki'inyan shenemar al pi haTorah sher yarucha. But ataroa hachachamim b'mesh alonis bar lahem miderech svarasam umasam matanam omrim holokim ilu amro Yoshua benun lo tzaisile klomar lo yisi mamin bo afabishu navi kiven shein biyada yicholus lahodia ha'inyan b'chavana b'derech hasvar v'masu matan v'adrachim shebehem nitan lihidarish. Just as a navi isn't given authority per se in maso matan and svara. It's very interesting, mashal of halacha, because that's viewed as a different discipline. Unless somebody also is qualified in that discipline, he doesn't. That's part of the story of Ein Navi Rashoi Lechadesh Davar or Loba Shemayim. He, unless the person's also Talmud Chacham, who's deserving in that respect, right? He doesn't have stature in Torah knowledge in that way, even if he's a proper navi. Right, so too, Bale Halacha or Bale Mesora, when they're speaking about matters that they're not that is not their field, that is not their expertise, assuming that it didn't come to them Bederach Mesora, there too, they are not unimpeachable authorities. V'day b'zerayu mofet v'lo nenim lahem od kim shanachnim motzim lahem omrim shaloni tamet v'lo niskaimu b'gemara divrei harefuos. In an event kuma, he gives a bunch of examples. He thinks that these are Eitz HaTovos that they believed in. It reflects the medicine of their day, but no more. And he doesn't think that it ever was projected as more. But it's also important, as he notes, and this is like the most important takeaway from the whole Igeris here of Rabbi Ramana Rambam. And that is the sense of balance, and we'll discuss that in the Rajba as well, on these matters. Meaning not to be extreme, right, in either direction. It's one thing to say that the Chachamim have no special, if they have no special information, then they have no special authority in such matters. But that doesn't mean that their pronouncements, as, responsible people, wise men, should be rejected out of hand either. Meaning many things that they said were wise and were true. So he says, "Veda kilot yitchayev bavur masha amarnu she masha amar azal ikafnat achol right itzchiach shasei right ibashel kidrech shadi bebambatga right hadvarm shamarnu kize amamar hu ikar abrius kasher imtu habechina v'rufuos harofe." Meaning a lot of things that they said as very intelligent people and responsible people and people with, experience and leadership, were based on either, reason or medical knowledge, which was authentic and which was very reasonable. So the point is that we don't give them the emunas chachamim, they don't have a mesorah, they don't have samchut in that sense, but neither should one dismiss the things that they said. The chain enlan liton la aristo, he gives a philosophical example. He says Aristotelian philosophy, from a Jewish point of view, was not infallible, meaning there are things that Aristotle believed that Torah believes, right, including the Rambam, who was a strong Aristotelian advocate, but the Rambam takes issue with Aristotelian conclusions in numerous issues. But that doesn't mean that you throw out the book, right? You don't throw out Aristotle. So v'lomar hol v'adon chachmi ha-philosophim who ve'kim mofsim amitim ha-metzirus ha-borius barach who kiyotze bazeh, maybe his proofs for the existence of God, and other things, who kiyotze zeh me'advarim ha-amitim shebo b'mofes upogu derech ha-emes, whether, he, sometimes he got it right. A lot of times he got it right. kikein batzaha emet be'emunas kadmas ha'olam b'she'en abar yisbarach yodea pratim makiyos. But he also said that, you know, he also advocated the eternity of matter, and he also argued that, you know, there's no divine knowledge of particulars. V'lo lach zivo v'lo mar ho v'to be'emunas elu kikein to b'kol amarav aval yesh lanu u'lekol navon v'chacham lehitbonein kol dea v'chol ma'amar al derech sheyesh lehitbonein ota. That you have to take each issue as it comes. Now, do you have to take a balanced view, where especially somebody is a wise man, so he has a certain credibility and a certain default, I wouldn't say authority, but at least, you know, we don't dismiss his views. At the same time, right, you have to know what his expertise is and where his limitations are. Kasher nu ro'imo samzal, sh'omru im halacha nekabel. If something's a mesora, then we accept it. Im ledin, if it's a logical argument, yesh tshuva. V'chein emosim b'mesha lo hukra ha'echad mishnei afachim sh'mamid emosim ba'amaram bo'teku. How come in halacha itself, sometimes we're not able to be makriya sfeikos, because not everybody has, you know, absolute authority, and it doesn't mean that the people who don't have absolute authority, you know, that they are, you know, just amei aretz, and you treat them, you know, as if they have no authority, right? Both extremes are absurd. V'hachacham lahem mideos she nis'ames lahem barmar b'harbe mekomos chodzo bo rebi. This is fascinating. The gadol mizeh b'harasam v'avasam derech mishpat amru uki rava amora alei v'dor sh'amar dvarim shamarti b'fneichem tose miyadi. Rav Raman Rambam is admiring, right, the flexibility of people who are seeking truth, and especially their capacity to be modala emes, right, to admit that they made mistakes and to be chozer, to reassess things. V'inyanam elu ki yotze v'hem ein l'havinim eliz bonenotam b'pnei shoy godol ha'etzo v'achachma elu b'pnei harayos v'amosim sheyesh aleihem v'chein amar abamari bi'ura. It's quoting the Rambam. And then he says that avasam ha'emes v'hodasam alav amru mishamru, and then he gives a whole example for the sugya in Psachim, where there seems to be a scientific argument between Chachmei Umas Ha'olam and Chachmei Yisrael, and some Amoraim were, you know, taking the side of Chachmei Umas Ha'olam. So Rabbi Raman Rambam says it's a search for truth. It's not a halachic issue. There's no mesora. Therefore, the fact that it was the indigenous Jewish belief didn't mean that it, you know, was, you know, irrevocable truth. And the whole discussion in the Gemara is to try to figure out what is really happening. So what's fascinating is the way he characterized Atalis bonein mashe orenu bebraisazu mayakar inyana shalamdu ki rebi lo hibit bedas elu ele biderech harayos delila sim alev lo lechachme yisrov lo lechachme umatolam v'chriya das chachme umos mipnei rayazu. This bonein chachma zesod ki rebi lo pasa kadas chachmei umasolim. In the end, el shechriya daita midas shikol adas baraya shazacharnu v'zeo shamar nirim divreim humila model hakra v'ilu nizbar la bavadai ubaraya shagalgal choser mazalot kvuim haya posek alacha kemosam kasher asu zulasom nachachamim. And says v'amar nitzchu chachmei umasolim lechachmei yisrael. Ube'emes, this is, I think, a very striking comment, Nikra Adon Zeh, meaning Rebbe, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Ki Adam, Kishe Sholeach, Kishe, I can't read that word, Kishe Yashlich, sorry, here it is, Kishe Yashlich, Me'al Panav HaSheker, V'Yikayim HaEmet, V'Yachru Enu Lamito, V'Yachser Bo Midaito, Kishe Yizbar Lo Hafcha, Ein safek ki kadoshu. So that's a very striking interpretation of kedusha, right? Typically, kedusha is, you know, related to precious, typical, perspective of Chazal, and kedusha, of course, is associated by the Ramban, you know, with altihi naval b'shus haTorah, with a person who embraces, you know, the sensibility, the ethos, not just the, you know, the technical or limiting to the pratim. It's interesting, the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos, when he talks about, the phrase, Kedoshim Tiyu, in one of the Shurashim, actually, says that the concept of Kedusha is about being attentive and sensitive to the holistic, I mean, to the total picture. That Kedusha implies a certain kind of integrity. In other words, conclusions that are based on not narrow. It's like the Ramban in eschewing narrowness, but in a different way. Not about the values of a particular that are reflected by certain pratim, but like the, you know, the wider, broader picture, you know, provided by, you know, the totality of Kol HaTorah Kula. It's interesting that the Rabbi Ramana Rambam is interpreting the language of Kadosh also in terms of integrity, which is, you know, a little bit, which overlaps both of those. So that is his interpretation, that Kedusha is somebody who has the integrity to pursue truth and to understand, you know, when, you know, to reverse course. Again, in light of our discussions in the context of Eniodea and so on, about, you know, Hillel, receiving, you know, preferential treatment in terms of Hakra because of their openness, right, to the positions of Beis Shammai, the idea that, you know, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, because of his capacity to be open-minded and honest, not to be too entrenched, in other words, with his own, by virtue of his own ego, let's say, a position that he has taken, really works in very well. Okay. Anyways, the, I don't want to go into the whole thing, but the classification that he provides is also very interesting. Rabbi Avraham Rambam basically develops the idea that there is pshat, and then there are, you know, pshat, he says, if you look at Chazal, like, Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Asa Ladam Shi Malei Piv, Schok Ba'olam Azeh, Shinemar Azi Malei Schok Pinu. So that's an example, one of many, of, you know, take it as it is, you know. But then comes the Chelek HaSheni, which is fascinating. That's where Yesh Chitzon Upnimi, Va'kavona Hayosa Inyan Apnimi, Loha Inyan HaChitzon HaPshati. And then he notes that that is a lot of Agadata. And that's what the Rambam speaks about in Mor Nevuchim. He says, Kfar Yisbar Rubam, Avalo Kulam, B'Mor Nevuchim, Perish HaMishnah. He keeps referring to his father. He's writing this in the spirit of his father. B'dimyon HaChelek Mashamru B'Gemar B'Tainis, Asar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lasos Machol Tzadikim B'Gan Eden, V'Hu Omed B'Neihem V'Kol Echad Mehem Mare Be'etzba, Shenemar V'Amar B'Yom Ahu Hinei Elokeinu Zeh Kivinu Lo, etc. So what's this, everybody dancing, you know, in Gan Eden, and, you know, pointing with their fingers and saying Hinei Elokeinu Zeh? So he says very beautifully that the pnimi message here is, you know, to try to distinguish Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. Hu Asagasa Me'Hashem Yisbarach. It's the idea that in Olam Haba there is a certain greater capacity for really understanding or comprehending to some extent the Ribbono Shel Olam. Ma Shelo Hayasiga Ba'Olam Hazeh B'Shum Panim, that which is inaccessible in the physical world. V'Imshil Simchas HaHasaga K'Simchas Machol. Right, the imagery of dancing is the idea of the joy of kind of being into something. In other words, you know, having like an instinctive understanding of it. The pointing is like to show that like this is something that, you know, is beyond us, but that we can kind of intuit, you know, a connection to it. So that's a very, he has examples for each of his levels. Then the third one is the pshat that requires a better, it is pshat, but it's one which requires a deeper understanding of the terminology of the psukim, or in some cases of chazal, meaning the literary a component is the component that really illuminates the true meaning of the agadah, and he gives examples of that as well. He talks about the Olam Yargiz Adam Yetzer Tova Yetzer Hara. If you understand what Yargiz really means, it means Yashlit, and he tries to prove that. And, you know, why, if a person finds a difficulty, he turns to Kriya Shema, he turns to Talmud Torah. He says, you know, this might sound, you know, superficially, and if you analyze it superficially, pretty strange, you know, and very mystical. But if you really understand, you know, Ba'omek, what Kriya Shema is about, and what Talmud Torah is about, and what it takes for, you know, someone to be disciplined and to rein in, you know, other types of impulses, then you realize that you need, like, the inspiration, and you need the, like, the perspective. You have to be invoking Kabbalah Samachos Shamayim and a higher purpose, right? These are the things that give you the, you know, the fortification, if you will, and therefore, you know, reinforce your motivation, right, to do something that is difficult, namely to, you know, to rein in other types of impulse. So that's his example of, it is pshat, but you need to know, you know, what the terminology, you know, is code for in a deeper way. But not in the mystical way, but then, of course, he has the psukim, which are al derech machmadei hashir, which is a fascinating category, which he basically means that the pshat is the pshat in the pasuk, and the chazal isn't, this is very important for him, not everybody agrees, he says, Rove Droshos are these type, and Rove Droshos are not a Kabbalah, not a Mesorah, is his view, not everybody agrees. Achda ki perusham lipsukim, she'enam tulim be'ikar mi'ikari hadas, velo bedin medinei ha'Torah, she'enam kabbalim bi'adam. He says, anything has to do with halacha, but we speak about that's usually a Kabbalah, a Mesorah. It's interesting. Anything having to do with ikari amuna is a kind of Mesorah. But the regular drushos, what he calls machmadei ashir, right, very nice ideas and true ideas, authentic ideas. He's not saying they aren't binding or that they're not authentic. But what he's saying is there's a pshat, and then we're connecting these ideas also to the way that the pshat is written. It's like a second level. Not that it's just a drusha bialma or divrei chidud either, but it isn't a Kabbalah. It's based on the logic of reading the context and the wider meaning of the pasuk, but it doesn't replace the pshat. Aval yesh mehem lefi achras adas, v'yesh mehem dvarim hanaim u'miskablim al derech machmadei shir, k'ani lo mistapik v'maymer divar Rabbi Yeshua b'perek le'yishma yisro, mashmua shomo ba. Right, mochemes amalek, shomo ba. So he says, zemi shikol adas amru, v'lo mi kabbalah. Doesn't mean it's wrong, but it's not part of the pasuk. It's like the context, and it's good speculation. So, but it's not a mesorah, because there are other Tanaim, right, and Amoraim, we say v'raya lezemi mashamar shekeni k'suva b'tzida imaisa kabbalah b'yada lo yitzarech raya l'perusho. Number one, if it's a kabbalah, you don't need a raya. V'od raya cheres shari anu roim chachamim acherim zulas rav Yeshua, right, the sovrim das acheres v'im advarim kabbalah lo yucholkim bo shari Rav Elazar, Rabbi Eliezer, each one says something different, right? Ein safek b'einai ki divrei ha'omer b'feirish dabar al b'nei Yisrael v'yiso v'yisiu osan b'liban kizel derech talmud habina b'machmadei shir v'lo pirish hadas ela the pirish drashos ha'pasuk ela ha'drashos omdos ba'atzman v'karv lios ki rov ha'drashos ha'nimsos b'divreyem he mizah chelek ki hu emes she'en alav ma'arer ela shoge upeti, meaning these are not mesoras, but they're like very reasonable and intelligent extensions of the pasuk, which have the authority of Chazal. I mean, they're not just l'chidudei either, and where there can be machlokas on this, and it's a function of the global understanding, my words, as well. Then comes the fifth one, which is a kind of, he calls it hadrashas shedibroem lashon havoy v'dimin achelak hazeh b'gemar d'psachim, and he talks about some fantastical Divrei Haggadah, where he says, obviously, those fantastical Divrei Haggadah are not meant to be taken literally. That's like the Rambam's Chida Umashal. And then he goes on to explain Maisim in this very similar manner, that there are different types of Maisim, there are real Maisim that took place, which have either halachic or hashkafic or midos significant. There are other things that took place, which took place as dreams, referring, though he doesn't say so specifically, you know, to the Rambam's view in Mor Nevuchim that the Ramban is unhappy about even, you know, some psukim being nevua or kalomos, which doesn't mean, as we've discussed, that they're any less real in the sense of being spiritually significant and real. They're real experiences. They're just not physical experiences. He says that is a whole category as well. Aderech HaShlishi, Maisa Shinomad, Ikare, Mimenu Ikare Amuna. So he has a whole group of things. And he says, but there are some stories, again, just like some Divrei Agada, that are told in the Gemara that are meant not to be taken literally, but to be understood as a kind of melitza. And then he talks specifically about the Purim story of Rava shechting, you know, Rav Zeira and then Bichayeu. You know, I'm sad to say he doesn't think that that's literal. So I don't know whether that affects Rabbeinu Ephraim or not. Probably not. Probably not. But anyways, he doesn't think that he really killed him, and he doesn't think it was a real Tchias HaMesim, although he's certainly not rejecting Tchias HaMesim Chalila, which we'll get back to in a second. What he says is, you know, that he obviously got drunk, or he drank too much, we'll say, and things got out of hand, and there was some sort of a wound, you know, which, you know, was serious. You know, he didn't just stub his toe or, you know, have a little cut on his finger. And Mechayeu, I mean, he had to revive him. They had to resuscitate him, or they had to heal him. And, you know, that was enough. That gives numerous examples of this. Then he goes on to say that there are both Meisim and Midrashim that are Murkav, that are you know, constructed of more than one type, which makes things even a little bit more complicated. But that the basic idea is that these different Meisim and different Midrashim are all to be taken seriously, all to be understood, but you know, each according to its type. But in the end of the day, again, the sof davar for Rav Avraham and Rambam is that understanding this v'dimyon, he says, is also one type, which is just Torah Anistar, which we shouldn't get involved in. Adimyon chelak arvi ma'ashomer bit kinvutz hamalachim v'omdim lefanav iafshar perushin yanzek hu galui. Gilui sod, kvar dibarnu gedolos v'nichnasnu lefnim shelo bershus. But his bottom line is b'zei yimalit nafsho melahotzi al hamedabrim dibos shelo kara'ui kasha yotzi akaroim v'aksilim ukiyotze behem o sheyitva b'yavan hasichlus, right, b'dvarim hanimnaim. Right, who is spark brachamav yasher magalosav yachin tzadenu lidroch benesivos haemes olechas barchosav yishimo mivarach amen. And then you have the, you know, chasima. So again, it's he does take the stand that, you know, many midrashim are not really Kabbalah and Mesorah. He takes the stand that many extra halachic statements in the Talmud and Medrash, right, are perhaps not even binding because they're not Mesorah. Represent, you know, local wisdom, and they shouldn't be rejected out of hand, but they also shouldn't be accepted. But the motivation, clearly, and the bigger picture that emerges from this is the idea of reverence, and albeit, again, I'm trying to figure out which type of agada or which type of masa it is, but not dismissing, certainly not neglecting. He's critical of, again, the neglect of this whole area. There was a question? Robbie had a question? Oh, we had a question. Yeah.
A little bit further, a little bit back in one of the levels that he was presenting, he said that it couldn't be that it was Mesorah because there was a Machlokas.
Yeah.
Is that a universally accepted?
No, but that is a perspective that the Rambam also seems to. When the Rambam speaks about, you know, Mesorahs in general, so the Rambam says that if something is a Mesorah, then it should be, you know, protected and can't be subject to Machlokas and can't be Meshubash. This is a big debate, really. One of the cases where it comes up is in the issue of, it comes up a lot, but the Rambam says this also, and the where it comes up a lot is in things like Tekiah Shofar is a good example of it, right? The, Haigon, you know, in particular, came up with the view, you know, the Gemara says that we're not sure what a true is, right, whether it's Shvarim, Atrua, or Shvarim Trua, or Ginuch Egonich, Yilul Yalil, or both, etc. So most of Sharma are of the opinion that we really just don't know, you know, that there was a Mesorah, and we're just not sure, and so on. And some of the Gaon, Reb Hai Gaon, for example, says that that's impossible, you know, if it really was a Mesorah. He doesn't say it so much as a matter of principle, but he might mean it as a matter of principle, a couple of different lines. You know, at one point he says it's just not conceivable what were people doing all the time in terms of Tkiyah Shofar all the years until you got to Rav Avoh, you know, it was mistopping. So, and there's one line where he also seems to say, you know, and if it's really a Mesorah, so then, you know, couldn't be, you know, Meshubash. So, and again, that is probably where the Rambam gets that idea from the Gonim, and he's assuming it shouldn't be subject to Machlokas, shouldn't be subject to Shibushim, right, etc. And you can understand where that comes from, but it definitely is not accepted by all. Anyway, Rav Hai Gaon's view on Trua is really that there are, these are all legitimate views, and it's really a question what the most proper view is, but he really comes to that conclusion against Pashtus of the Gemara and almost all of Rishonim, right, who think that you know, that it's Makev, and you have to figure out the right one, and that's why we do all the Ribui Truos. I'm not saying Rav Hai Gaon doesn't think you do, he also thinks you do the Ribui Truos, but he doesn't think that they're mutually exclusive. That's an example. But it is that's a big issue. But the Rambam says that in the Akdama to Mishnah Torah. They're the same idea. Anyways, we could talk about that another time as well. So the one other thing I wanted to mention before getting back to Tzkiyas HaNesim, and that is that in a similarly balanced way, again with some different nuances, we talked a couple of weeks ago about the Rajba's Sefer on Agadata, and what that, you know, was all about, and his view especially. So there's a very famous tshuva that, this I want to bring in for its own sake, and also because he has an application to the issue of Tchiyas HaMesim specifically, but in Chelek Aleph of Tshuva Sarajba, a Simen Tes. From Simen Tes, there's a little cluster of tshuvas where the Rambam deals with, from Tes, I think, to Yud Zayin, no, earlier, one second, from Tes through Tes Yud Yud Aleph Yud Beis is a little cluster. There are other ones also where the Rajbas and the Chuvas Rajba of Vinyane Amuna or Pashanut, etc. So he has a very important formulation, again, of an approach to these, you know, issues. Not so much to do with Agadata per se, but Nisim, Agadata. I mean, the clash between human inquiry and, you know, and Kabbalah or Mesorah. And again, what's striking about it is the balance, you know, the acknowledgement that, you know, these aren't small matters, and, you know, you could totally appreciate people's skepticism and their focus, you know, on human inquiry. After all, we're, you know, wired that way. Ribbono Shel Olam created us that way. And at the same time, of course, that religion demands faith and a certain transcendent approach. So the balance between those two things is, you know, what's going to determine the appropriate path. So the Rajba, again, here was asked very specifically about one of the things that he wrote in his Perush on the Haggadah, on the Agados, Perush Haggadah, about the fact that the world is of limited duration, it's not eternal, you know, not was and not will be. Shaltani al inyan mashabab Perush Haggadah, footnote here, you know, it's Bava Basra Ayin Dalet, Shepirashti Anikil Das Rabosein Yesh La'olam Ketzev. Right, the world is of limited duration, life. Right, va'ala b'libcha stira zem imasha kasav Rambam. You think that he goes on to discuss whether it really does contradict or not. Ubikashta haraya al dvarai al divrei zulaso. So he says, I'm just going to read a few of the passages because again, it's about a broader issue. And then Agav, he says something important about Tkiyas HaMesim, and I want to get back to the Rashi. Da nichvadenu keelo advarim kulam b'kiyotza behem ilo hayinu baim ladunaleim mitzad hachakira haenoshit. If you were to come to this from the, you know, from the human inquiry side, He says, on purely scientific and philosophical grounds, right, it's true that the conclusion would be that, you know, the universe is eternal, at least going forward. But that's because, you know, obviously inquiry, you know, human inquiry is anchored in the natural world. Vanu roim hagalgalim b'li mishtanim klal miyom hibaram, etc. Aval bemet kol mishatoin kein el olamitzad hakabala hamasura biyadon shel yisrael mipicha chameim im horas hamikros. However, the other side, which of course is the one that we accept, is based on Mesorah, Kabbalah. The kolsha Kabbalah o hanavua, right? Hanachoso lo tenatzchenu achakira. Right, as long as the foundation is religion and tradition, you know, that trumps inquiry. But what's important about the Rajba, he doesn't trash inquiry. He doesn't. In the end, he does suggest that, you know, contemporary inquiry could be, you know, replaced by its opposite tomorrow, and that's also weakness. But that's not the initial thrust. The initial thrust is to be very honest and very complimentary and admiring about the power of inquiry. Kachakira lamata min hanavua, but you have to know its place. Zed davar barur lo yistapek bo achad mibalei dato. That's part of being a religious person, is understanding that hierarchy. Kolshkein balei hadas ha'amitis ka'ameinu. It's a very interesting line too, meaning there's an acknowledgement here that anybody who, you know, is identifies as a religious person in any religion, the definition of religion is the idea of transcending human, you know, limitations and human inquiry. And of course, he says that's true for, you know, the authentic religion, our religion. Right? The afalpi shamispalsafim, the philosophers, toinim bebitul kol zebik fira mehem, divrame bebenu, Moshe Rabbeinu v'shar neviim, meaning a philosopher who's not religiously committed or not committed to the details of our religion or a particular religion, will say that these things are inconceivable, right? They're against nature. Vanu ein dvarinu imakofrim bakol umatilim ashibush gam bedivrei haneviim ubeemetz ki lo yachziv shum davar shehu mekubal biyadameinu rak mishit chayev etzlo bitol kol mashu keneged hateva vanimna b'metzius. Meaning, anybody who wants to critique, you know, our tradition and miracles and so on, you know, has to be willing to basically deny the capacity for any kind of change in nature. That you can't, it's inconsistent to believe that there is the possibility of divine intervention or the supernatural, and then to ridicule specific kabbalos, you know, which reflect that. Kamaram, sheesh to kol animnos, teva kayam. Ukeelu, yichaibu, sheena madrega bamitos, lemala mi madregas chakirasam. You have to be willing to say that nothing, you know, eclipses, research, right? Scientific research, philosophical research. And if you want to be a religious person and maintain that view, says the Rajba, then you have to have a more limiting view of transcendence, of God. I mean, you have to hold, if you think that God and his wisdom, meaning nature, and what he's implanted as a capacity in man are the same, so either God, divine uniqueness is inaccessible to us completely, and therefore we don't believe in the miraculous or the supernatural, or it doesn't exist. The Yosem is Aniroem, Minatema Bedivrayem, Shehim Bemes Modim Shein Chakirasam Matseges Lamitas Tevahanim Tsaos. Geshla Koguf Minanivrayem Skulos Velo Nodum Pem Sibasam. Now he starts on a second level of the attack. And that is that, you know, even those who take this view, I mean, a purely rationalistic view, but they probably will concede that there are many things that they can't fathom about nature. He happens to bring the example of magnetism, Kimishichas ha'evan ha'shoeves as a barzel belishi dabek guf leguf looks like magic, right? Hayesh davar yotze migedor ha'teva yosem mizeh sheit no'eya bala guf domein b'liem tzaut guf acher manio v'shiafech ha'barzel panav al ha'sadan b'met, right? Im supar zel aristo, like if you told Aristotle about magnetism, hayam machziv b'lisa fake l'leishen et parsem ha'inim pirsum ram, unless he scientifically experienced it, but he would have otherwise said it's nonsense. This is the Rajba's balance. So, but you know, a reasonable person like Aristotle, you know, once he experienced it, so instead of you know being obstinate and claiming that it's an impossibility, would have you know redoubled his efforts to widen his understanding and to appreciate it. But who shall mar David? People who again who limit their scope to you know to scientific inquiry. That's what that pasuk means according to the Rajba. Fascinating. Rotzebo mishamad b'derech mashal b'mamad yamsu v'sinai ra'beinav b'emet kiyum ha'osos v'nitametz etzlo ha'inyan b'lisafek. Meaning, the experiences that you have, you know, reconfigure your, not only your, it's not just belief versus, you know, inquiry, it causes you to redouble your perspective, let's say, or to reassess your perspective on inquiry. This is the Kiddush, this is the Tchias HaMeisim part. He says it's totally mashal. If you have a clash, I mean, the Rajma is not taking the obscurantist view that philosophy is just nonsense because it's not infallible. It's not infallible because it can't explain anything. It's not infallible because we believe that there are events and kabbalos that trump philosophy. So you could take the position, well, it's all flawed, and therefore we shouldn't give it any quarter. But of course, that's not what he said earlier, and it's not what he says now. So he says, if you run into psukim that seem to be contrary to what we know to be scientific truth, it's totally fine, you know, all things being equal, to suggest that maybe it has a more symbolic meaning. As long as it doesn't clash with some mesorah component, whether it be nevuah or halacha. Aval kishu magia etzel is better. Yeah, hadvarim shenit parmsma amitasam beamuna etzel chachmi Israel. But when it comes to a clash between you know logic or inquiry and kari amuna yifarish hamikros kitzurasam, then you have to read the psukim kipshutam, basically. V'afapi shachachma philosophit soteres osam ki'inyan tchias ha'meisim. As we get back to our topic, she'enak suvim muchrachim bo echreach nechtach. If the psukim in Torah shebichsav per se, right, don't prove the point, and that's if you didn't have a mesorah and a kabbalah, right, that this was an ikar amuna, you wouldn't learn them from the psukim alone. Right, we get back to the Rashi point in a minute. V'yesh lefaresh kol hamikros b'derech mashal ki inyan hamikros shabo yoser mivuarim b'inan meise yecheskel ela shechricham hechreach hakabala hamufersemes ba'uma b'makom hazeh yodesh hakabala tevatel hachakira filosofi v'az tielanu hora mimenu sheimashgichem b'chakira keneged hakabala lefi shechachmas Hashem lemala mechakira seinu v'kacha yikre lanu minadin. He uses Tchias HaMeisim as an exemplar. And I wonder whether or not that isn't one of the reasons, in addition, why Tchias HaMeisim is such an easy target and such an obvious exemplar of this whole clash, whether that isn't also one of the reasons why it becomes even more central as Ikari Amunah, or that the trappings of how you know it, that line in Rashi, become more significant as well, as I'll explain. The kacha yikra lanu min adin b'kol davar sheish kabbalah biyad by the way, Hazakenim v'Hazkenos, Me'amenu, okay, both genders in terms of the Mesorah, v'lo nistar kabalasam rak achar akiyum she'eno be'efshar chalila, v'lo nistar kabalasam v'ein kabalah poshetes b'yad amenu rak she'kiblo osam dor achar dor ad Moshe Rabbeinu ad hanavim. Strong statement about the authenticity of Kabbalah, Mesorah. This is where he's talking about Tchias HaMesim, right? It's Merumas Bapasuk. So the point, you can acknowledge that it isn't Mukrach Bapasuk, but the fact that it's Merumas Bapasuk after you have a Mesorah becomes significant in terms of the belief of Tchias HaMesim as well. Rak Tachrichenu HaKabbalah V'yit'anets Inyan HaKosuv Im HaKabbalah. So that is a kind of, again, he's not relating to that Rashi, but what he seems to be saying is that, you know, again, the Pasuk alone wouldn't have led you here. The Mesorah is critical, but once the Mesorah also attaches itself as a remez, the Pasuk, that aspect of it is important too, because in a way it tests, you know, the intensity of our belief that not only is it so, but that it's concretely so. Ukeinen shamarti b'tchias ha-meisim haroa ata v'haya echad michach me'yisrael doresh mi'atzmo inen tchias ha-meisim in ha-Torah v'ma shegal b'kasuv hincha shokhei v'mavosecha v'kam ela she'im ha-kabbalah ha-amitis, once you have the Kabbalah, noda etzleinu she'nirmaz ha-inyan b'makom ahu. That's a level of belief, and I think that is one. We still have to discuss another couple points that we began with last time of the explanations of I see my time is up. I want to speak just another minute or two about the Rajba, and then I want to go back to the Rashi, and then we'll continue with the Tchias HaMesim, and a little bit of discussion of the Yad Ramah's view on Tchias HaMesim next time.